Turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I like the book of Daniel. I read it because it goes along with the book of Revelations, but still, we need to realize too that we're living in a day and time where we need to realize some things. We need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is coming back, and He's coming back soon. But I want to speak to you tonight about the word friend. Friend. You know, Daniel, he had a friend. And not only did he have one friend, and that one friend was the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And not only did he have them as friends, but he also had others that he seen with his eyesight, and that was Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach. They was also friends. And they looked up to each one. And not only did they look up to them, I believe that they really trusted each one of them with a life. Now, we know the story there about the three Hebrews, and that they was eventually put into the fire, and they was put into the furnace. And after they was put into the furnace, the king there said, I want totally the guards there, after the king had went to them and looked at them, and he seen them walking around. But the guard had also told the king Nebuchadnezzar, says, we don't see just three, we see four. Now, no doubt, the king, he questioned his own self. He says, well, how can that be? How can that be? Because we didn't put but three in there. And there was nobody in there before we even chunked the boiler or the fire or whatever. And there was nobody else in there when we closed the door. And there was nobody else in there when the king told them, says, you turn the furnace up and you turn the heat up 7 times 70. Just turn it all the way up. Because that was his idea and what he wanted to do. He wanted to make sure that not only the three Hebrews, but he made sure that maybe Daniel, that was on the outside, that Daniel would end up doing what Nebuchadnezzar said he would do and wanted him to do. But we also know too that where the three Hebrews and Daniel said over there, says, well, it's in verse chapter 3 and verse, I think it's, hold on, let me see where it's at now. It's three. What is it? Well, in other words, basically what the king was saying right here, he wanted the furnace turned up 7 times, hotter than it ever has been, to where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would fall down and be bound and to worship the king. See, that was the only thing the king wanted. The king wanted them to worship him. Also, they wanted them to worship the golden calf that he had created out of gold. And he had there the governors, the chancellors, all the people there of that time. It had prestige and the knowledge of what they was doing and everything, and they wanted to see what the king had built. But the three Hebrews says no. Just like Daniel said. Daniel said no. I will not come and look at that golden calf. Basically what they're saying is, I'm not going to go and allow my eyes to look upon the sin that you've got there in that golden calf, even though it is built with gold. But it says also down here, let's see, in verse 4. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And from the form of the 4th is likened to the Son of God. Still right here, Daniel is still promoting his friends. And Daniel had true friends. And how many today can we count on our fingers and on our toes that we can say that we have a friend that we can go to and we can tell them anything that's burdened us down to where we're not serving the Lord? No. Daniel's friends, they refused to go and worship this golden calf. Not only did they refuse to worship it, but also Daniel's friends, who did they put their trust in? They put their trust in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. And Daniel's friends were protected while they was in the furnace. And who protected them? The one that protected them was the one that they had all the trust in. And that was God. They knew if they stayed with God that they would come out of the furnace, would not have no smoke, no hurt, nothing would be done to them. They would come out of that furnace and they would smell like a rosebud, like that they've just went in and took a bath, and they put on all the, what I call the flu-flu and everything, to smell good. They didn't come out of the furnace smelling of smoke. They didn't come out of the furnace and where their head was singed by the heat and by the fire. They was not any flames. They was there with God the Father. They was used to the flames. The one that created the flames. The one that created hell. And when he created hell, he placed the flames there. So he knew what the flames was all about. But anybody that want to serve God and worship him and trust him with our life, they don't have to worry. They don't have to worry. We don't have to worry anymore. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about in what we're going to be doing tomorrow. We don't have to worry about if somebody comes up to us and say, "Preacher, you know, I heard that you're one of these preachers that believes in heaven and hell. And I understand that you're one of these preachers that once saved, always saved. And I understand, I've heard the preacher, that you're one of these that believes that it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved you. And preacher, I understand, and I've heard people say that when you get up there, when you get to preaching and everything, and they've seen you in revivals and different things like that, when something just gets on you and it looks like you're just going crazy, having a fit. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of all of it. But I will not apologize for it. I will not apologize for it. Because it's here in the book. And I cannot apologize for this book. If I apologize for this book and what this book is saying, then my life is going to come up short. I'm not going to have much longer here on earth if I defy this book. Why won't I be here that much longer? First of all, because I claim to be a Christian. Secondly, all, I know in whom I put my trust and my faith in 37 years ago. And I know who walks with me. And I know the one that talks to me every day. And I know the one that has taught me what the Word of God is saying. But yet, then I come up, and as long as I stay with the Lord, and as long as I trust Him and trust His Word, and by faith, I don't trust it because I got the head knowledge. I trust it because of my heart. And what's your heart? Your heart is nothing but faith, is all it is. Because that's where it comes from. It comes from our heart. That's where the love of God is at, is in our heart. It's not in my mind. It's not in this flesh. It's not into this arm. It's not into this leg. It's not into this. It's not into the coat. It's not in anything that I have on. It's in the heart. Because it tells us in the Bible, says we should not harden our hearts. Because when we harden our hearts, what does it say then? That the hardened heart would be a stumbling block for us. And what happens when we have a stumbling block in front of us? If we have a stumbling block in front of us because of the hardened heart, what's going to happen? When we get to that place, we're going to stumble. And when we stumble, what's going to happen? We're going to fall. Which way are we going to fall? We're going to fall. We're not going to fall upwards. Because gravity has not come into place then. When we fall, we're going to fall down. So in other words, what we're doing is we are really basically falling down to worship the devil. But right here, these three individuals said before they even was put in the fire, and before they was put in the furnace, that they told the king and they told Daniel, says, hey, it doesn't make no difference. If what we go through and all the anguish that we have been through, and even going through the fire furnace, what the king says we're going to have to go through. So be it. We'll go through it. We'll go through it. Why did they say that they're going to go through it? Because they trusted God. They trusted God with their life. And when you trust God with your life, you're not going home no quicker than the Lord wants you to go. You say, well, what about you say that and everything? What about you go out here and you get on the highway tonight and everything, and you're going home, and then somebody pulls up beside of you and pulls out a machine gun, a rifle, or something like that, or a pistol, and they aim it at you, and they shoot, and the bullet comes through the automobile, comes through the glass, comes over to where I'm at. I trust God so much that I believe that God can take that bullet that comes through that glass and directs it into another direction where it won't hit me. Why? That's who I put my faith in. If we put our faith, all of our faith in God, we can move mountains. We can move anything that comes in front of us. We can move it ourselves. We don't have to just ask God, say, God, would you move that mountain? No, He's asking us. Before we go to Him, He's asking us, don't you have the faith? Do you have the faith to move that mountain? Do you have the faith to trust me? If you have the faith to trust me, then you have the faith that that mountain can be moved. We need to have faith, not works. Oh, works good. As a Christian, work is good. But work has nothing to do with our salvation. It's only by faith. Only by faith. After we're saved, and after we know that we've had the blood of the Lord Jesus on our life, and after we know that the Father there has placed our name there in heaven on the Lamb, in the Lamb's Book of Life, with the ink of the crimson blood of His Son, we don't have nothing else to worry about. We don't put our faith in Him. I'd rather put my faith in Him, put my faith in somebody out here that comes up to me and says, if you will, if you can just bear with me for a while, if you can just do what I want you to do for a while, I'll give you this and I'll give you that. I'll give you all the money that you need.
Matter of fact,
preacher, I mean, if you'll do that, hey, I'll give the church $500,000, $500,000. I'll even pay your mortgage off. I'll even pay this off for you.
And I'll pay
everybody else's off that's in the church.
But you have to do what I say do.
What am I doing?
I'd be turning my back on God. And turning my back on God means all of that inheritance
that I'm going to receive.
And all of the inheritance that I'm going to receive, that has kind of dwindled off. Hey, I ain't lost my salvation. I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. But if I turned and walked the way that they want me to walk, then what will happen? All of my inheritance up there, every bit of it, I believe, would turn around and go to somebody else. You may have one little inheritance. And that inheritance may be that he said, you can inherit this. And after you're here in heaven with me, and after you're here with us, and after you're here with your friends and your loved ones and everything, then there's going to come a time that where we're going to all get on the white horse. We're going to ride that white horse back to where it all first began. And that's the creation of time. The creation of heaven, where we are already at then. But it's the beginning of the creation of earth. So we are going to ride the horse back to earth. All the inheritance that he promised me in the Word of God, all of us then dwindle down to one little inheritance. And you know what that's going to be? I believe. This is just
me now. It's just me talking. I don't know.
But I believe the inheritance that I would receive, that one little inheritance, would be the inheritance of me going around and picking up all the trash. Somebody else leaves after the service. Where they don't know how bad. Nobody else wants to do it. Do it. You'll have to.
Why?
Because of God. Because he loved you enough. But in saying all of that, we should be tickled to death that we can just inherit that much of it. That we can do something for the Lord. We can do something now
for the Lord.
What is that? What is that? We can. Just like we said at the very first, before I even started preaching, before the singing and everything, there's power in prayer. We don't have no power. We don't have no power in the pulpits anymore. We don't have no power no more. Why? Because we don't pray enough. We don't pray for the right thing. We don't pray for the things that we know that we are trying to hide ourselves. Paul said that he needed to be crucified every day. He needed to walk with the Lord every day. And the thorn that was in the side of his flesh, I don't believe the thorn that was there. I don't believe it was no injury. I don't believe it was his eyesight. I don't believe it was none of that. Well, I believe it was and is. And you can go back and you can read about before he became Paul, when he was Saul. Hey, persecuted the church. Are we persecuting the church today? We got people out here today. We say we haven't been persecuted yet. Well, really, basically, we haven't really been persecuted. But the people I hear that won't come to church, that don't believe and don't trust in God, don't have the faith that they need to follow Him, they are persecuting Faith Baptist Church. How they're persecuting Faith Baptist Church. They're persecuting Faith Baptist Church to the point where it won't grow. They're persecuting Faith Baptist Church for what reason? So nobody else would be able to come in and get saved. We have people out here persecuting Faith Baptist Church that they bring up things that was way back in the past, about something that was done in the past, and they still bring it up today. We're persecuted that way. But we don't need to hang on to any of that. We don't need to hang on to the past. We don't need to hang on to what the people are saying, because see, God knows exactly what we believe in. And if we believe in God, if we have the faith and trust in Him with what He's given us for and to do for Him, all the persecution can come that they want, and it will not fail. He will not fail us. He will always be there for us. And we can override all the persecution. We can say, well, yeah, you persecuting me because I'm standing on the truth. I'm standing on God's word. I do not apologize. If you want to persecute me, that's fine. I don't apologize for God's word. The only thing that I will apologize is when I get up here and when I preach His word, and if I say something that is not coherent to the word of God, if it's not correctly or right or whatever, I will correct myself on that. And I will apologize for that. The reason I will apologize for it is because that's when the ignorance that I had opened up my mind. I want to come up with a message and title it The Power of the Mind. The power of the mind. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that we have a mind that is so small that we don't even know what it can hold. What is that word, I can't never remember when the preachers would get up here and they'll start talking about the mind and everything, and the memory and everything. They say, other words, what it means is that you got a small mind. Your mind cannot comprehend anything. I could not comprehend who Jesus was until after I got saved. So what does that tell me? It tells me one thing. And that is the reason that I could trust him. It wasn't because of the mind. Because your mind was so small. So, I'm going to look your word up and I'll let y'all know Wednesday night. But it's in the Bible. I can't remember exactly where it's at now. But our mind is so small. It cannot comprehend nothing that we do. It cannot say that what we do is right. It cannot say that what we do is wrong. The only reason that we can say what we do is right, or what we have done is wrong, is through the heart. That's where all the love comes from. It's from my heart. If you love me as your pastor, if you say that you love me, and if you love me with your mind, that's useless. But if you say that I love you, my heart just tell me. You know the reason the heart tells us that? See, that's where the Lord Jesus lives. That's where he lives at. He took up an abode within my heart. And then when he did, he allows my heart to teach my mind to do some right things. Because he tells us over, I think it's in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, I believe it is, it tells us we must strive. We must strive to have the mind of Christ, which we know we never will, but we're supposed to strive for it. If we don't ever strive for it, we're not going to get no better. But if we strive for it, if you run that race like Paul started that, and he started running that race. But if Paul would have said, well, I'm saved. He saved me on the down and the road to Damascus. I've done some awful things in my life. Some awful things. I've done some things that I'm not proud of. I've done some things that I know that I don't have to give an answer to. And he gave an answer on that road today, on that road of Damascus. I believe that Damascus road is a road that every individual has to travel on a Damascus road that would lead them to Jesus. And with that in mind, and saying all of that, he did not waver one bit. He did not say, well, Silas, we know where we're going now. They're going to put us in prison. They're going to put us behind them bars. But Silas, don't worry. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. You know the reason they was okay? You know the reason they was rejoicing? It's because they remembered some of the songs that they had heard. And they're just reminiscing over how they got saved and everything. And how God, the amazing grace, and then the children of Israel there, and how they came back to God, and how people that turned their back on God, but God never turned their back on them. That's what kept them going, and they kept us singing. And when they sung a song, they weren't just singing a song just because the tune was there, or they come up with a tune and everything, and they started singing about this, a honky-tonk place, something like that. No, they sung about the Savior. They sung about His love. That's the reason the earthquake happened. That's the reason the cell doors were shaken. That's the reason the shackles come off of them. And it was shaking so much that the shackles come off of Paul and Silas. Now let me ask you something. It doesn't say anything in it at all. Where Paul and Silas, either one, was shooken to the point that they fell to the knees. It doesn't say.
I don't believe
that they moved a bit. Only thing that moved from the body was the shackles, the bondage that the devil at the time had placed him under. Shackles. Are we shackled? Are you shackled? Am I shackled? Am I shackled by the people that I come in contact with? Am I shackled because of somebody don't like what I preach and what I stand for? Am I shackled because the church right here don't seem like it's growing? Am I shackled because I haven't seen people come in and I haven't seen people come to the altar and get saved? Am I shackled by that? Shouldn't be. The only thing that I should look at is say, well, hey, I don't have no idea what happens outside the doors. I don't have no idea how that prayer gets to some individuals. But we need to be faithful. And we do need the power of prayer. That's all we need, is the power of prayer. That's all we need. That's all I need. I need that power. And it's there at my, just right there at me, to where I can just grab a hold to it. I can feel it, almost feel it, touch my fingers. But then I just need to grab a hold to it. I need to pull it in and pull it into my heart. And I need to start praying like I've never prayed before in my life. And I'm not talking about one of these individuals I hear in prayer and speaking in another language and everything. And a whole lot of them today will tell you that's the reason God says you go into your closet. You get by yourself. Because the only way God can understand you if you speak in His language. What is His language? His language is an English language. His language is what? It's the Russian. What is His language? His language is a Spanish language. What is His language? It's all of them together. All of them together. It wouldn't stand head by an eyes closed. Tonight I want to ask you something. Do you feel like that maybe you've lost some of that power in your prayer life? If you do, you need to come and ask God to forgive you of it. And you need to come and ask the Lord to help you with it, that He'll give you the power that He has. He has enough power to go around to every Christian. And how many would say, yes, you'd love to see somebody come here in this church and walk the aisle and give the heart and the life to Jesus and get in church. Yes, I'd love for them to come here. But if they don't think that they can come here and live for the Lord 100% for Him here, my prayer is that God will open the door for them somewhere else, that they can get in there and they could serve the Lord. How many wants to raise a hand tonight for that? See, preacher says, yeah, I need the power of prayer in my life. Yes, I need it back. Sometimes I seem like when I pray and when I talk to God, it seems like it don't go no further than just above my head. That's when power comes in. See, the power of prayer will break through that ceiling that is above us, that is stopping the prayer, that's hindering our prayers to get to God. Say, preacher, I need to pray more today than I have for in my life. And I'm going to pray. And what we do when we go out here, that somebody can look at my life and they can say, I don't know what they have, but ever what they have, I want it. Because they look like that they always have a joy and they have a peace that passes all understanding. See, we, without even toting a Bible with us, even carrying a Bible with us, even carrying a Bible in a church through the doors, we, our individual life, our testimony, is the only word of God that a whole lot of people will even read. And yes, they can read God's word in our life if we stay true to Him. Father, we ask, Lord, tonight, oh God, that you just help the people. And Father, help me, oh Lord. That Father, that if it's something in my life that is hindering the work down here, hindering for people to come in, and Father, hinder the ones that come in to get saved, and Father, and be faithful unto Thee, Lord. If it's something in my life that I cannot pinpoint it, Father, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you would just pinpoint it to me, Father, so I can come to you and I can ask your Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive me of it. The way I can go back serving Him, so I can go back to having that power in my prayer life. And Father, not only that I can move out of the way, Father, allow the people to come in. Allow them to come in, and Father, that they will come to an old-fashioned altar because they've been drawn. Father, there's no need of us saying anything about anybody, condemning them or anything else. Father, because they know that the life that they live is not right. They know that they need, their life needs to be on a different highway. And Lord Jesus, you can help us as individuals here at Faith Baptist Church to pray that they would just come on down. Come on down and trust you. And allow you to do the change within their life and their heart. Like you've done with me, Father, so many times before. And I thank you, Lord, today for saving my soul. I thank you, Father, for taking my footsteps and put them in the right direction that they need to walk. That they need to walk right behind you, Lord. And as long as I'm right behind you, walking and trusting you by faith, I will not stumble. I will not get caught up in the sin of this world. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, tonight that you would forgive me for where I have shortchanged you, Father. You've never shortchanged me. You've always given what I've needed, not what I wanted. You didn't say anything, you give me what I want. You give me what I need. Father, we thank you and we love you. Because it's in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm.